Well, I just want to echo again what she's already mentioned, but want to just say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. And if you're watching online, we certainly say happy Mother's Day to you. And I recognize today as I begin to speak that in different ways, we're all filled with a mixture of emotions today. And I can't even begin to speak and without stopping and honoring the place that I'm standing. It's the pulpit that's referenced sometimes as a sacred desk, different things it's called. But today I recognize that I'm standing that in the place that was occupied by Pastor Hoffman for many, many years. And so before I do anything else, I just want to give honor and thanks to God for Pastor Hoffman and his leadership. Can we just thank the Lord that he allowed you to be under Pastor Hoffman's leadership? I think that's appropriate. God, we thank you, Lord, for the leadership, for the guidance, for the love. God, we honor, Lord, his legacy. We honor the work that he did here, God, and what you have done through his ministry, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. What an incredible service last Sunday was in honor of him and his ministry. I know that this past week, this past month, several months has been some of the most unique in this church's history. And speaking to a mentor recently who stated to me, it said, First Church has experienced more events in the past 6 months than most churches experience in a lifetime. Yes. That really struck me. And so today I want to minister to you, the longstanding members of this church. And I know what it's like to serve every week in a church, whether it's in music or production or, you know, managing different aspects of the services. So to you, if this is your home church, if you've been here for a long time, I want to just kind of make a special note to you that if you're serving or if you're thinking about what's going to happen next, or if you're on the music team or even those that are serving in the sound booth, you know, I just want you to maybe not unplug completely from your duties, but just turn an ear to the Lord, because I believe that he wants to minister to all of us here today. But I also want to say, if you're a guest with us this morning, if you're new today, if you're here with a mother or someone, I believe that God has a word for you. If you're stepping into this situation and may not be acquainted with all the happenings at the church, I believe that God still wants to speak to you today. Would you mind standing with me? I want to read a key text. A very familiar passage of scripture to many of us is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 12. I want to read the New King James Version. It says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." 1 Corinthians 13:13. "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." You can be seated this morning. The basis for my message today, I want to tell you, is actually the result of my own internal spiritual wrestling in a previous season of my wife and I's life, and in which we were serving with a church community and family that lost a beautiful soul. Her name was Jamie Sanders at the age of 27 after a long battle with cystic fibrosis. And if you know anything about cystic fibrosis, in short, it attacks the lungs, and it fills the lungs with fluid that solidifies, and it just reduces the lungs' capacity over time. And my wife and I served as her youth pastors, and we called ourselves her friend tours for many years. And in that season, it was time and time again that Jamie would go in the hospital for extended periods. And as a church body, we would pray and that God would do something. And she had many ups and downs. She received a double lung transplant, and she had this experimental medication, all these different things that at some point we would pray, okay, this is it. This is going to be the time that we've hoped for, that something is going to happen. And yet it seemed like time and time again, Jamie had different setbacks. And so there was a time when it seemed that her life was coming to an end and that things were not going to turn up as we had been praying. And we had an opportunity to meet and have a meal with Jamie. It's about 3 months before she passed away. And I remember sitting across the table from her and her looking at me and saying, "Pastor Daniel, could you preach my funeral?" And that's hard to sit across the table from a 27-year-old facing her mortality and answer that. And I said, "Jamie, I would be honored to." And I just remember that season. And much of what I want to share with you today, the Lord poured into my spirit during that time, but he's brought it back to my heart over this past week. So I began to write and consolidate things in preparation for today. And so we love this passage of scripture. "Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And we have these terms that are so powerful in scripture: hope, faith, love, terms with such deep meaning that we can hold on to in times of trouble. But maybe for you, on a day like today, or this past week, or in a season like this, or for this church, or maybe for someone who has lost their mother or experienced the loss of a child, if you're a mother and you've lost a child, or for people in different difficult circumstances, even these wonderful scriptural terms can seem, in a word, shaky. These things that offer such a steadying effect normally, in times like this, sometimes they just seem to fall short. When you go through a deep point in your life, where does faith come into play? Just have faith. How? Where does love come into play? Well, just keep your head up. God loves you, right? We sometimes go to these statements like this. And so my question is, what do we do with these three words? Faith, hope, love. How do we move forward in God? How do we hope? How do we have faith? How is this love? Sometimes these words feel meaningless in the face of the darkness that seems to surround us, or in the face of our shame or doubt or struggle or things that life has thrown at us, or circumstances we find ourselves in. And I want to speak to that today. And I believe with the help of the Lord, help us in the days to come. And I want to speak of our spiritual life like a home, if you will. And so, just for the purpose of representation, I want this platform to represent my home or my spirit, if you will. And I have these chairs here today, and we would look at in our spiritual home these things like faith, hope, and love, like residents that should abide in our home, like things that should take up a dwelling place within us. We would say that these things should abide in our spirit. We have faith and hope and love, almost like residents sitting in a seat. So we would say that faith has a seat that it should sit in our spirit. Hope has a seat that it should occupy, and love has a seat that it should occupy. And so, just for the sake of conversation today, I want you to think about your spirit as a home, and these elements that we're discussing as residents in your home, as things that deserve a seat in your home, that should abide and should live there. So if these are the tenets of things that we should believe in, these things that are supposed to drive the conversation of our spirit, I want to also propose that a new word has been added to the conversation. A new resident, a new companion has come into our life. And in a word, it's grief. The word that has been added to the conversation today is grief. Normally, I would say grief is the companion that arrives when a loved one departs. But that's not the only case. I wish I could tell you today, if you were experiencing grief, I wish I could tell you that grief was linear, meaning that every day just got a little bit better and better and better. But that's not the way grief works. You're going to have wonderful days. You're going to have unexpected, awful days. Grief is a companion you never wish to walk with, but you cannot escape once he arrives. You see, I would even argue that grief arrived early for First Church. In fact, grief entered the door the same day as Pastor Hoffman's diagnosis. And from that day on, grief was a premature, constant companion. Grief of mortality. Grief of the reality of the brevity of life. Grief of what could be. We experienced that walking with this young woman, Jamie, through her life of this terminal diagnosis. And for many in this room, grief is the companion you've walked with for years. For some, it's something you've always known due to the circumstances of your life. But for others, it's a new and difficult companion to allow to enter. But for all of us, as we greet this companion, grief, there's some things that we need to understand. To tell you a little bit more about the context of the story, we've got the news of Jamie's passing, and we had stayed close to the family throughout this entire time, and we're helping them with funeral arrangements and different things. And we had already on a ministry trip in Louisiana, and so my wife and I, we had our kids, and so we left them there with some people in Louisiana. We were driving over to Houston and just grappling with this, and I'm trying to prepare to speak and trying to come to terms with the grief that I'm experiencing. And my wife was pregnant at the time, you know, and so she's the whole weekend, she's just uncomfortable. And so we're thinking, man, this is just, you know, a lot for us to process, a lot of stress and a lot of things. And just to fast forward through this, after the funeral, you know, we were leaving and going home. And again, my wife was just experiencing more and more discomfort. And on top of that, just alongside this, we were having in the middle of just some difficult conversations with people having to us about different situations. So we're trying to grapple with all these things and this grief that just seems to seep in. And as we got home and we got settled, I remember being in the pickup line to pick up my daughter from school. And my wife had an appointment with her doctor, and she went in, and we unexpectedly found out that my wife had had a miscarriage. Now, we lost that baby. And if you've experienced that, you know it's a unique type of grief. And so in this season, we're trying to just wrap our minds around the loss of this community of faith, the people we had prayed countless times, Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for a complete healing for Jane. We can believe that you can do it. And then my wife and I were trying to come to terms with what's happening. And so I realized that grief was not only just a part of my life, because I had experienced some of the losses, but this was different. And so now grief seemed to be an ever-present companion. And it's in that I realized that grief is a usurper. I want to tell you this today. Grief is a usurper. Grief wants to eject some things from their rightful place in your life. And I want to tell you today that grief, as an occupant in your life, as a companion, even unwanted, the seat that grief wants to sit in your life is the seat that hope is meant to occupy. Amen. Grief wants to replace hope in your life. My message title today is Hope's Seat. I want to speak about hope's seat. The seat that grief wishes to sit in your life is the seat that hope was meant to occupy. You see, if left unchecked, grief will usurp and replace hope. How do I know this? Because you can say this many times in your life: this situation is not what I had hoped for. I had hoped for a different outcome. If you've ever experienced the loss of a child, as awful as that may be, you understand that there are hopes that have been dashed. Hope has been ejected. And grief, difficulty, and trial now resides in that place. Maybe a financial crisis in your life, and things that, plans that you had made and dreams that you had dreamed and hopes that you had are gone because it's not what you had hoped for. Relationships that have been broken, relationships and things that have turned sour, and you find yourself saying, God, how did I get here? This is not what I had hoped for. So what do we do? I want to tell you that grief wants to replace hope in your life, and if left unchecked, will do so. So grief has arrived and hope has been dashed, or has it? How can we persevere? How can we minister in the midst of overwhelming grief? How can we have joy, life, humor, love, faith? How? Today, I want to submit to you what I want to maybe call a kingdom principle, a scriptural and spiritual truth. And this is at the heart of it. What we hope for can never take the place of who we hope in. What we hope for in this life, the hopes and ambitions we have, can never take the place of who we hope in. I know there are situations in your life that you had so much hope for. You hoped things would work out. You hoped that things would go your way. You hoped that a loved one wouldn't pass away. But at the end of the day, let me tell you that we can never let earthly, temporary things that we hope for replace the eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We cannot mistake our hopes for who our hope is in. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and the salvation that he gives. So I know that you had hope, but let me just tell you today that at the end of the day, you've got to make up your mind to say, even if it doesn't go the way I hoped, my hope in Jesus cannot be destroyed. I've got to build my life on the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Even if I don't see what I had hoped for, even if I don't experience the things I want to see, my hope is forever settled in Jesus Christ. In him, I have hope. I may have some things I hope for, but it will never replace who I put my hope in. We've got to put our hope in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:24 says this: for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Another translation says it this way: we were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. One biblical commentary says it this way: our happiness is not in present possession. We are saved by hope. In this, as in other things, God has made our present state a state of trial and probation, that our reward is out of sight. Those that deal with God must deal upon trust. Hebrews chapter 11, we see great examples of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, New Living Translation: faith shows the reality for what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. You can read on. It says, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah had a child. And then we pick up in verse 13. Look at this. And this could be a message all on its own. Hebrews 11, verse 13. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They'd agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen. What a wonderful reality we see. So, you say, that's great. I understand. Yes, grief wants to take hope, but that's happened for you. That, you know what, grief is, yes, it's sitting in the seat of hope. So what do I do? Because hope seems so flighty. Hope seems so ethereal. Like I can't anchor it down. I can't reach for it because grief is just ever with me. How do we anchor hope down so it's not easily removed or broken or shaken? What is the foundation of hope? It's faith. Faith is the evidence. Hope, the expectation of things not seen. You have to have faith. But even faith is a tricky thing because, like hope, I think we can undermine our faith by the way we perceive it. In our lives, when we talk about faith, sometimes, if we're not careful, if I'm not intentional, sometimes when I'm talking about faith, I'm actually talking about my feelings. Sometimes the danger is we decide how strong our faith is by how strong our feelings are. Someone is going through something, we may find ourselves reaching for faith as the thing that will make them feel better. I'm sorry you're going through this, brother. Just have a little faith. It'll turn around. Thanks, I feel so much better. Thanks for that. Although we can sit here and say that we understand that, I'm afraid all too often we have made faith synonymous with our feelings. Now listen, we love to feel the presence of God. As Christians, apostolics, Pentecostals, we're exuberant in worship. If you haven't figured that out, if you're a guest with us, we make no apologies. We are exuberant in worship. We're exuberant in prayer, in response. We love to feel God's presence. That's a wonderful thing, which is great. But what about when you don't feel anything? What happens when you don't feel anything? What about when you're numb? I know it may not be popular to say this, but I'll just say it. There will be times in your life, in your walk with God, there will be days, weeks, months, seasons, when you don't feel anything. You know, our culture wants to tell you to trust your feelings. Our culture wants to say that your feelings are your reality. In fact, I could go as far as say this. Your feelings define your truth. Whatever you feel, that's your truth. However you feel. Your feelings, if you feel that way, do it. Base all your decisions on your feelings. If that's the way you feel, go for it. Our world, our culture, our humanity, our flesh wants to define our reality, what we perceive as truth, by the way that we feel. So what happens if you're following Christ and following Jesus, but you're here even today and there's worship happening and you look around and people are worshiping and they're excited and you're just thinking to yourself, man, I don't feel anything. I'm grieving. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm numb. I don't feel anything. Sometimes your default is to think my faith is weak. I don't have faith. I'm lost. I don't know where God is. But let me tell you something. In the kingdom of God, it's opposite. We should not base our decisions on our feelings. The truth is we need to do the opposite way. We need to understand that there's sometimes you're going to have to decide some things in your spirit regardless of the way that you feel. That's the opposite. So let me give you another kingdom principle this morning. God-filled decisions beget God-filled feelings. God-filled decisions beget God-filled feelings. If you live for God based on how you feel, you're in for a roller coaster of a relationship. But that's why you hear preachers say sometimes, you know what? I'm going to worship God no matter how I feel. Even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to worship. Why? Because you got to understand something. Sometimes you're not going to feel a thing, but you're going to have to make a decision anyway. You know what? Even if I don't feel excited today, even if I just feel grief, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, God, you're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the honor. I can come in and I can lift my hands, not because I feel like it, not because I'm excited, but in spite of that, I've got to make a decision that my walk with God is not based on my feelings. It's not based on my fickle emotions. It's based on a decision that, God, I'm going to love you. God, I'm going to serve you. In dark times, I'm going to praise you. In broken times, I'm going to worship you. Why? Because I decided before I walked through those doors, I decided I'm a worshiper. I don't care what song they sing. I don't care what they do. I'm going to worship. Why? Because I've decided to do so. I don't care how you feel this morning. I believe that someone needs to step outside of your feelings and say, you know what? I'm a decider. I'm going to worship God because I've decided to do so. Yes, I'm hurting. Yes, I'm broken, but I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to raise my voice and say, God, I'm going to worship you despite what I feel. God, I'm going to praise you in spite of how broken I feel. God, even though all I feel is grief, I will worship. Why? Because I'm commanded to. Why? Because I've got breath in my body. Why? Because I've decided to. And I believe if you make those decisions, you're going to feel your feelings begin to shift. When you decide first, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to worship. Maybe those walls of Jericho are going to fall because you said, I've decided to be obedient. I've decided to follow Christ, even when I don't feel like it. Oh, can we just worship God for a moment? God, I've decided to worship you. I will worship you. I'm committed to worship you in spite of how I feel, regardless of how I feel. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have to understand that. I know that because sometimes you can be you can testify to this, that, you know, when I begin to praise, my feelings begin to shift towards my praise, because whatever I decide to, whatever I set my attention to, my feelings are going to follow towards that. My attention is going to follow towards that. My finances are going to follow towards that. My affection is going to follow towards that. So sometimes you just got to understand that you may not feel it at all. But that's not going to stop me from deciding the kind of person that I'm going to be, the kind of Christian that I'm going to be, because I made a decision that, God, in spite of my feelings, I'm going to follow you. So there are going to be times when you don't feel anything. But let's take this a step further, because what about when there are seasons in your life? This may be okay for a day, and you expect a turnaround. This may be okay for maybe a week, and you expect, okay, God, now it's time for me to have a change. But what if you've gone through a season of your life when you felt numb, and it's taken all of your energy? Now, there's something else that I want to tell you, and it's in tandem with that first principle, and it's this, a kingdom principle that goes hand in hand with God-filled decisions. And it's something that I believe that needs to settle over someone's spirit today. And it's this, when you don't feel God's presence, rest in his promises. When you don't feel God's presence, rest in his promises. Because we always want to look to God's presence for the answer to our problems. What we want is to have an issue, to come and pray, to feel different, to have a moment, and then to move off that moment. But what if that doesn't happen for you? It can. I believe today at the end of the service, there's some people that you've been dealing with some things, and you're going to have a perspective shift. You're going to come to this altar. The Lord is going to touch you in an instant, and you'll be forever changed. I believe that with all of my heart. But what if that's not the case for you? What if you pray and you don't feel anything? Is your faith broken? You said, okay, I'm going to make a decision. Okay, I understand. It's not about my feelings. You know, I'll make a God-filled decision, but you also need to understand that sometimes there are seasons of life when you will not feel God's presence, but that's when you can rest in his promises. What do? Go to the Word. Go to the Word. The Word of God will sustain you through every season of your life. The Word of God is going to fill your spirit with the things that you may feel devoid of right now. Let me just read a couple of things to you. I just want you to absorb the Word of God just for a moment. Matthew 28 and 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You feel lonely today? I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You feel like you don't understand where you're going. You feel like God doesn't see where you are. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Romans 10:11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are scriptures that maybe are not going to make you feel any differently right now, and that's okay, but you need to understand them, because there's some word of God that's going to be placed into your spirit. There's some promises that can be placed into your spirit. And you know, I love to read Psalms. If you look at Psalms 18, I love this passage, because this is when David is being delivered from his enemies. And you look at this, look what David writes, because maybe this needs to be your song. Maybe you need to begin to shift what you're saying to your spirit, what you're saying to the Lord. Look what David says. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Look in verse 6. In my distress, if you feel distressed today, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Verse 16, he sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. Look what David said. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Let me tell you that God, it is big enough to handle every feeling that you may have. If you're angry today, that's okay. My God is big enough for that. If you feel numb today, that's okay, because my God is big enough for that. If you're upset and you're wondering and you're doubting, that's okay. Why? Because God is big enough for that. Your faith can survive it. Why? Because God is big enough to handle it. If you're upset, you've got questions, that's okay. Just put your hope in Jesus Christ. God is big enough for that. I could go on and read scriptures all day, but I just want to remind you that God has made promises to you about you, and these promises have the power to sustain you through times that you don't feel God's presence. So if you don't feel God today, his shoulders are broad enough to handle whatever feeling you may have. But don't allow your feelings to be the measurement of your faith, because your faith is so much deeper than fickle feelings. Sometimes faith looks like your feelings. Sometimes faith looks like obedience. Sometimes faith looks like putting one foot in front of the other, even when you feel awful. I believe there are some people in this place that could already testify, because you've already been there several times in your life, and you can look back and say, I didn't feel like very faithful at that moment. I didn't feel like going forward, but because I did, I have seen time and time again the faithfulness of God. Can anybody testify to the fact that he is a faithful father? Has he been faithful to anybody in this place? Is there anyone that you could just stop and say, you know what, in the midst of this situation, let me reflect back on what he did? Because if he did it a couple years ago, if he was faithful to my family then, I've got no reason to think that he won't be faithful now. Is there anybody that would say, God, if you did it before, you can step in and you can be faithful one more time? We serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. So again, I tell you today that God is big enough for your feelings, whatever they may be. There's many times in scripture you can look at the accounts of men that were angry with God and let him know they were angry with him, but they were still obedient. They moved forward even in their anger, even in their outbursts and their lashing out, but they still walked the course. 1 Corinthians, again, we see this, 13:13. These things will last forever, the faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So if you say, okay, yes, I understand. Grief wants to kick hope out of its seat. Grief wants to usurp hope from its seat. So yes, I understand. I want hope to be in its seat. And I understand that faith is the thing that anchors hope down. And I understand that maybe faith is not a part of my feelings. But how do I keep all this together? What is at the root of all this? What is at the basis of all this? Love. The love of Jesus Christ. The unconditional, unsearchable love of God. Jesus loves you. If I could get every single person in this room to actually understand and leave this place settled in that fact, I really do think out of that would flow so much. If you really took hold and understood that Jesus loves you in your mistakes, yes. In the middle of your failure, yes. In the middle of your doubt, yes. When you point your finger back at him and accuse him of being the problem, yes, he loves you. Jesus loves you so much that he died to redeem you. You want to talk about love? John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loves you so much that he gave you a purpose, that he gave you life. Jesus loves you so much that he gave you Pastor Hoffman for many years. Jesus loves this church so much that he gave you Pastor Hoffman to guide you, to show you what a servant looks like, to show you what love looks like. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves this community. That's how much God loves this church. You want to talk about love? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Are you in tribulation? That's not going to separate us. Are you in distress? That won't separate you. Persecuted, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Look at this. I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you. Whatever you can imagine, there's nothing on this earth. There's nothing above this earth. There's nothing under this earth that can separate you from the love of God. In that I have trust. In that I have faith. In that I have hope. At the heart of everything is love. God's love is what gives us the faith we need to keep hope in its rightful place. You got to understand that. And you know what? This is so interesting about grief. Grief can take different forms. Sometimes grief is just pain. It's just pain. Sometimes grief is fear. You know what grief loves to rob? It loves to rob hope of the future. But you know what this verse says? Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Our fear of the future cannot separate us from the love of Christ. If we can understand that if God loved your past enough to bring you to your present, God's going to love your present enough to take you into a future. And we need to understand that. There's nothing that can separate us from God's love. But today, I don't know what your grief looks like. Maybe it looks like fear. God, what's next? What am I going to do? Maybe it looks like apprehension. I don't have the faith to move another step because last time I did, it didn't work out. It failed. Maybe your grief looks like the hope that was lost of something, God, I hoped for and this didn't happen or I lost this or relationship. I don't know what your grief looks like today, but we need to understand that at the very basis of what we have to do is love. Understand that God loves us, but not only that, but he gave us a commandment to love one another. John 13:35, the ESV, by this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. So if we have a deep understanding that Jesus loves us, if we are committed to love God and to love one another, that love is what fuels our faith. And faith is what anchors hope into its seat. Faith is what kicks out the other intruders. So you have to understand that. Will you continue to experience grief in your life? Yes. Will grief be a constant companion? Yes. But does grief have to snuff out hope? No. If left unchecked, it will. Maybe even just right now, maybe you need to reflect upon your life for a moment. I want you to think about
the areas of grief. What does grief look like for you? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it pain? Does grief just rob the hope of a future in your life? What about grief can take things from your life that you hope for? We see that 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, or a sound mind. So I want to tell somebody today that you have allowed fear of the future to usurp hope for long enough that God wants to tell you again today, I did not give you a spirit of fear. You do not have to walk out the rest of this day in fear, but you can walk out in power and in love. And if you have love, then you can have faith. And if you have faith, then you can have hope. So there's somebody today, you need to say, God, I'm sick of all these things kicking out hope. I'm sick of fear kicking out hope. So today I'm going to eject fear from my life. Today, God, grief is not going to usurp hope anymore. I'm going to get that out of the seat of my life. Somebody needs to make a decision today. God, I'm going to love you no matter what comes my way. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love others. I'm going to have faith in a future, and I'm going to hope again. Will you stand with me today? God, we can hope. Why? Because we have love. We're anchored by love. And if we're anchored by love, then we can have faith. And our faith is not just dependent on our feelings, but our faith is something deeper than that.
If I have faith that is grounded in those things,
then I can finally again have hope. Psalms 130 and 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word, I hope. So today, I want to ask you, has hope been kicked out of its rightful seat by grief? Again, I would love to tell you that after we pray today, we're going to kick grief out of the house. No. Grief will be a constant companion. And grief will rob your feelings at times. But guess what? It's okay. Your faith is not measured by your feelings. It's measured by so much more than that. So if I can just give you these points again today, and this is what's going to happen in just a moment, I'm going to ask this entire church body to come down here and pray. But where are you today? Maybe the first principle I shared, maybe not on purpose, not by design, maybe you have allowed what you hope for to overwhelm who your hope is in. Maybe today that's why grief. Maybe grief has kicked out hope, and maybe grief is now sitting as a resident, managing your decisions, managing all these things in your life because some things that you hoped for didn't come. And I'm sorry. I wish I could change that. But the truth is, even if the things that I hope for don't happen, I cannot allow that to shake who my hope is in. So today, maybe what you need to do is say, God, I didn't realize it, but I'm feeling so shaky right now, and now I recognize I had placed all my hope for things above my hope in you. Today, I think, first of all, we all need to pray a kind of a grounding prayer that God, even when things are bad, even when things are good, I can never let that supersede that my hope is in you. I'm looking to a country, not looking back. I'm looking to a country I cannot see yet. Maybe someone, that's where you are. You need to place your hope back in Jesus Christ. You're so angry because situations haven't worked out. Things you hoped for. This is not what I had hoped for. That will happen. But who is your hope in today? What we hope for can never take the place of who we hope in. And then maybe today, you know what, sometimes we come to the front because we feel like it. And sometimes we don't because, you know what, I don't really feel responding. You know what, that's fine. I want to challenge you. I don't mean this in a bad way. I don't care how you feel. What I mean by that is I don't care if you feel like, man, every single thing is just right where I am. I don't care if today you're like, you know what, I'm not feeling anything. My challenge is this. Make a decision. Not a feeling. Make a decision today. I'm going to encourage you, and there's nothing necessarily different around this front, but what this is what we believe. And in a way that you say, you know what, God, I want to take a step towards you. Okay, God-filled decisions beget God-filled feelings. So to signify that, in a moment, I'm going to step out from where I am. I'm going to physically take a step down to the front. I'm going to connect with another believer, and I'm going to pray, because I know that if I begin to pray, some things can change in my life, in my perspective, some things can shift. I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because I've seen it for myself. I've seen it happen for me. So somebody, you need to understand that you can't live for God based on your feelings. And you know what? There's others still that you're in a season of not feeling God's presence. But what you need to do is rest in God's promises. God has promises for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is as close as the mention of his name. The Bible says, after that, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is upon you. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we would love to baptize you today, because there's so many promises in the Word of God that you are a new creation. God just doesn't make you a better version of yourself. He makes you a new creation. If you want the old to be passed away and all things to become new today, we can baptize you in Jesus' name, and you can receive one of those promises for yourself. But this is what I'd like for us to do, and I've kind of done it devoid of pushing, and the worship team's going to sing here in a moment. But I would like, if you're comfortable, could we just make our way down to the front? I just want to pray over you. If you're not comfortable, I'm not trying to put pressure on you. If you want to pray right where you are, that's okay. That's fine as well. But if you feel comfortable, I think it'd be appropriate for this church body for us to come down and just pray together. And I want you to think about that. Lord, there's some hopes, some things in my life that I hope for that they just didn't work out. There's some loss I've experienced, and grief has taken up residence. But there's some things I wanted financially for my family, some relationships that just, I'm living in the shambles of my own decisions. And God, well, what do I do? I don't have hope. Today, I think you can kick grief out of the seat of hope, and you can put hope back in that seat today. I want to just declare to somebody today, grief will not rule your home. Grief will no longer rule your life. Fear of the future will no longer be the only thing you can think about. Anxiety will not cripple you. You may feel like, I haven't had hope in weeks. I haven't had hope in months. I believe today, because we have faith anchored to hope that's grounded in love, that today we can say, God, I'm going to step into a new chapter of my perspective. I want to pray over you right now, and then I want you to begin to pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray today, Lord, that grief would not usurp hope in someone's life, that even right now, God, someone will begin to pray. Maybe they don't feel anything, but I can pray, God, even if I don't feel it, I'm going to believe it, because you have said it, because your word has declared it. So in the name of Jesus, God, grief will not rule this church. Grief will not rule my life. Yes, it may be a companion, but Lord, in the name of Jesus, I will hope again. I will hope again. Yeah, that's it. God wants to restore your hope. God wants to restore your faith. Why? Because God loves you. Yeah, that's it. You need to receive that today. God, I may not feel it right now, but I believe it, and I speak it, and I claim it all across this building. Can we begin to pray? Can you begin to say, God, I'm going to hope again, even if I don't feel it right now? God, I'm going to hope in you.